WCAF, New York.
What's the idea of coming here dressed as a woman?
Oh, Eddie, I'm in real trouble. My wife took all my money and invested it in the market, and now she had to hock every stitch of clothes I had, so I just had to wear her things.
Oh, Jimmy, it's an awful thing to let a woman mix in your business affairs.
You're telling me?
I don't allow it in my house. Only yesterday I gave Ida a real talk on economy.
And what was the result?
Well, I've got to give up smoking. Of course, you know, I let her win out in these little things, but believe me, she doesn't wear the pants like your wife. One thing is definitely understood. I'm the man of the family.
Eddie, I certainly envy your wearing a man's bathrobe.
Well, why not? I just put it on while I was shaving. Now, Jimmy, I'm going to go and get dressed, you see? With my wife, you know? I don't mind wearing her clothes, Jimmy, but I don't know how these things work. What is that with a girl?
Why? What puzzles you about it?
Well, you know, I've often seen my wife try to hide something. All she does is poke it down her neck, and when she wants to get it again, it's always in her stocking. What is that, Jimmy?
Eddie, it's plain to see your wife's in the market, too.
Oh, well, you know, she just bought one little stock. International Correspondence School stock.
Well, why did she buy International Correspondence School stock?
Well, she figured maybe that way we could get a little mail in the family.
Still, you know, I can't get used to the idea of women in the stock market.
Why not?
Why, men are built for it, but women dabbling in stocks, I can't imagine how they do it.
Well, it isn't so hard to picture, Jimmy. I'll tell you what. Look, you be Jenny Warrington, and I'll be Edna Cantor. We're dressed for the parts anyhow, and I'll show you exactly how women manipulate Wall Street. Here, lend me your fur coat, never mind, and I'll come in as Edna Cantor. Hello, Jenny.
Hello, Edna.
Where did you get that lovely mink coat?
My husband gave it to me.
Well, would you ever believe that such a beautiful fur coat like that could come from such an insignificant little beast?
Don't you talk like that about my husband. Where did he get that stuff?
Like a woman? Well, I think it was very nice of your husband to buy you that coat.
Well, he had to. I caught him kissing the maid.
Oh, dear me, that's dreadful. Did you fire her?
Not yet. I still need a new hat. Tell me, Toots, why don't you get into the stock market? You know, I bought a share of Amalgamated Copper. I received a stock certificate today. It's the most adorable thing you ever saw. A pink border trimmed with violet. I must get a dress to match that certificate, you know?
Well, why don't you buy a share of Continental Railroad to go with your little bay sports suit?
Oh, that railroad, who wants their cheap, vulgar stock? Even they themselves call it common.
How much did you pay for your share of Amalgamated Copper?
Well, they had a bargain sale yesterday at 14 something, but I missed it, and I had to pay $15. But they told me it's going up all the time, Jenny.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what do you do when stocks go down?
Oh, well, it could never happen to my stock. I wish you could feel the material. It's lovely.
Oh, really? You'd love it. You know, you got me all worked up about these shares.
Yes.
Do you think you could buy me one?
Well, I stand in very good with the stockbroker. If I recommend you, I think I can get them to sell you one share.
Oh, that'd be
now,
great.
Now, just come in there with me, Jenny, and I'll show you the different shares, and you can pick any color you like.
Edna, you really think I'll get stock?
Yeah, you get stock, all right. Come on in.
Auburn 52, American 10, 97.
Well, here we are, Jenny. Oh, broker. This is my friend, Jenny Wallington. She wants to buy some stock. Have you got anything in a nice pale green certificate to match her face?
Well, I hardly know what to suggest.
Well, I've got an idea. How much is Amalgamated Copper?
15.5.
What? 15.5. Would you believe it? I'm making 50 cents already.
Not exactly, madam. Not exactly. After you deduct taxes, open commission, interest charges, it amounts to exactly 3 cents profit.
Clear?
Yes, clear.
Well, I'll say that's just the bad for one day's work. 3 cents. Now I can get so many things I want to do. You see how it is to make money in the market, Jenny? Oh, broker. What is Amalgamated Copper now?
14.25.
Why, don't they know I take 15 for it? What do those people think?
I'm sorry. There was a break in the market, madam. It's now 13.
You tell those people think it's right back to 15.
It's just off the 12.
No, that isn't fair. You can't do that. You're just taking advantage of us because we are the weakest set.
Why don't you buy another share?
12, and even yourself. I will not pay 12.
Well, now it's 13.
Oh, my sorry.
It's 12 again.
Am I glad, but I won't buy it.
You're still to 14.
Oh, my sorry.
It's back to 13.
Am I glad?
14.
Am I sorry? Well, am I glad?
Just a minute. Another break in the market. Amalgamated Copper is down to 9.
It's a big 9. You call up that president of the Amalgamated Copper Company right away.
Well, I'll call him, but it wouldn't help you.
He'll be the one that needs help, not me. I never heard of such an outrage. To rob a woman like me, the mother of five children.
Hey, madam. Hey, I got to the president of Amalgamated. He's on the phone.
Well, I'll give him a piece of my mind. Hello? Hello, Mr. Amalgamated? This is Edna. What do you mean, Edna? You know very well there's more than only one Edna who bought a share in your company. Edna Canada, that's cool. Listen, what is this that you're doing with those stocks? I went to sleep last night. It was 15. I wake up and all of a sudden it's 9. What are you doing at night? No, I don't want to make a date. I was going to get your new customer, Jenny Wallington. I had her all worked up to buy a share. What's that? What? She can do what? What? Well, I asked you, is that a way to get new customers? Now, you see, Jimmy, that's how women act when things go against them in the market. Only a man knows how to take it. Wait a minute, I'll answer the phone, Jimmy. Never mind. Hello? Hello, who? Yes. This is Eddie Gander. Jimmy is my broker. Hello? My stock? My margin? My what?
What? Oh, Jimmy! Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Cantor has just faded. Almost said Edna again. If we can revive him, he'll sing, "I'm Living on Love." Think you can make it, Eddie?
I'll be all right. Lots of people go up to the mountains. It makes them healthy, they say. I don't have to look for youthful fountains or climb the mountain. I feel okay. I'm living on loneliness, and I'm hungry all the time. For that baby lamb of mine, I'm living on love. I'm living on love. I don't need a great big steak. Just a little angel cake. I'm living on love. Food is very necessary, but not for me. She's my vitamins A, B, C, and D. No foolish, I'm living on love. Sweet potatoes, no indeed. Sweet potatoes, all I need. I'm living on love. I'm living on love, and I haven't lost a pound. What an appetite I found. I'm living on love. I'm living on love, though I like my butter toast. Love my lady's fingers most. I'm living on love. I get hungry when I'm hungry. I kiss her and then I'm not slim, but I feel great again. I'm living on love. She's the apple of my eye. She's as rich as fortune pie. I'm living on love.
Now it's my turn to ask you, Eddie. Why does Mickey Mouse get up?
Well, Jimmy, you know whether it's Mickey Mouse or any other kind of mouse, you always find them around cheese.
Yes?
Hello, Jimmy. Yes, I get it. Catch on, you big Gorgonzola.
All right, go ahead. Keep kidding me. Let's see what you get for Christmas.
Let me tell Santa Claus on the telephone.
Hey, speaking of Santa Claus, here we have the presence of Professor Still.
Oh, hello, Professor.
Happy Yuletide, gentlemen. Say, what's your latest invention, Professor?
I have just invented the most remarkable machine in time for Christmas. It is known as the Magic Stone.
Mm-hmm.
It conquers time and space and brings you to the world of fairy tales.
Oh, that's nothing, Still. I just thought of a device for looking through a brick wall.
Amazing. What do you call it?
A window. It's so easy. You think you're an inventor? Only yesterday, Jimmy got a patent on a toothless comb.
A toothless comb? What is that for?
A bald-headed man. Tell him, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Oh, very interesting, Mr. Candor. You know those small inventions sometimes make a fortune?
Sure. The man who invented lifesavers made a mint.
Yes.
I hope Jason Sanborn on that list.
Go ahead. Ah, but my magic cloak is really remarkable, machine.
Yes.
I have it right here with you.
Yeah.
By merely pressing a button, a photochemical transformation takes place.
Mm-hmm.
You abandon the real world and enter the realm of fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean we can actually talk to Mother Goose and Jack the Beanstalk Kid? I'd love to meet the great man.
Jimmy, lay off the nudist comedy stuff. We did it a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. Are you ready, gentlemen? I will adjust these controls.
Mm-hmm.
And set the fence from here. Now, gentlemen, step right through.
Yeah, Jimmy, let's come right through. Oh, what, Jimmy? Jimmy, look at
this
valley. Isn't it wonderful, Jimmy?
Oh, it's marvelous, Eddie. I wonder where we are.
Boy, I'm not sure, but I think this is Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah? Yeah? Well, if it's Sleepy Hollow, we sure walked him up. Hello there, my little man.
Come on, Jimmy, get out your swing
slide. Yeah, wait a minute. Get out your swing. You mustn't do that. I'll tell your mother on you. Is she engaged at present?
Gosh, no. She's married.
What?
And where is your mother, little boy?
Oh, we're not the same mother.
I mean, you're brothers and sisters.
That's right, gentlemen. I can vouch for them because I'm their mother.
Well, tell me, who are you?
I'm the old lady that lives in the sea.
Well, by the looks of things, it must have been a kid brood. Tell me, old lady that lives in the shoe, how many children have you?
I have 40.
40 children?
Yes, 30 boys and...
Did you say 30 boys?
Why, yes.
Oh, Eddie. What is this? You really said 30 boys?
Yes.
You didn't hear that, Eddie. 30 boys.
No wonder I couldn't get any. She's got them all.
Got them all.
Look, lady, I would like to ask you, do you have radio here?
Would you like to hear it?
What program can you get on?
Well, we're so far behind in our limits that we can only get last week's program.
Yeah, maybe that's better. You know, the reason we're interested is because we're on the radio. What's your favorite program?
Oh, the kiddies all like one program. It comes on Sunday night.
You mean the Chase and Sanborn program?
Yes, that's it.
Why, that's where we're from. This is Mr. Wallington. I'm Professor Smill, and I'm Eddie Campbell.
Oh, you must be so thrilled to meet you. Kitty, come here. Look, children, these people are from the radio. This is Jimmy Wallington.
Hello, Mr. Wallington.
Hello, bud.
They heard you last time.
You dressed well. And this is Professor Smill.
Oh, good. Say, Professor, will you show us some of your inventions?
Oh, I will be delighted, my dear children.
And Kitty, look, this is Eddie Campbell.
Eddie Campbell.
My children.
Give me a knife.
Why, Susan, he's a funny man on that program.
Is he the one?
Yeah, be good. Listen, you children, be good, and I'll tell you some of my jokes.
Oh, Mom, I promise you I'll finish. Don't let him tell us any jokes.
What is it? A lot of Georgie Jessel? What is that here? Look at kids. I'm going to tell you a joke just the same. The other night I was in a hotel, and I was standing on a chair peeping over a transom, and Walter Winchell came along and made me get down.
Why? Because the kids climb up on Georgie Jessel.
What kind of children is that? I make you look, children. I want to be friendly with you. This is getting to be torture. How would you like a present?
Sure, I want a machine gun.
No. That's not little man. Your shirt is all torn. I'm going to give you a new shirt. How would you like to have a shirt just like mine?
Yeah, I'd rather have a clean one.
What is that with this shirt? I'm getting to be a douche for children.
Now, children, you run right along.
Yes, come on, kids. Don't fall down.
Come right in here,
folks.
Won't you step right in here?
Why, this is a nice place you have in here,
Miss Jules. Yes, but we almost had to sell it last week.
Oh, yes, she didn't sell your shoe, did you?
No, she said almost. She had it half sold. Don't worry.
Oh.
Tell me, old lady in the shoe, what's that dish you're fixing there?
Oh, these are shoestring potatoes. And we have these and some cold chives.
Uh-huh, and some filly of Hey,
what's that?
One of the youngsters is practicing on the shoehorn.
Oh, now listen. What kind of notes can you get from a shoehorn?
Footnotes, Jimmy. Footnotes.
Yes, that child is the only musical one in the lot. The rest of them fool away their time climbing around in the shoe trees.
About a heel?
I said they're not the best behaved children in the world. I haven't the control over them that my husband had.
Where is your husband now?
One night he left his wife and 40 children, and we've never seen or heard of him since.
Well, we'll find him. It's impossible for a man to completely disappear without leaving some trace.
You think so, Jimmy? Did you ever hear of Vice President Garner? Whatever became of John?
I have it. What? I know. We'll stick the dogs on
him. Oh, stick the dogs on him? Oh, that's cruel.
Oh, no, lady. Did you ever hear the old saying, stick and you shall find? I'll stop.
It's about time, but we'll find him all right. Can you give us some idea what he looks like?
Well, yes, of course. I have a picture of him on my desk. Here's my husband, who left his wife and 40 children.
Oh, don't worry, lady. You'll find him. Jimmy!
What is it, Eddie? Do you know the fella?
No, he's still posing with his violin. It's moving up.
Little Jimmy Jenkins had an uncle, and the uncle came to little Jimmy Jenkins' house one day. He gave little Jim a nickel, he told him not to spend the nickel, but to save it for a rainy day. Jimmy left the house in all his glory. What happened after that? Another story. Jimmy had a nickel. He didn't have it long. Didn't have it long. Cause the kids found out that Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy tried to hide it, but that would never do. That would never do. Cause the kids all knew that Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Down the street his eager feet found their way to the candy store. When he got there, holy gee, you never knew he had so many friends before. Jimmy had a sweetheart, and she was waiting too. Now the kids are blue, cause the kids found out that Jimmy had a sweetheart. Jimmy had a sweetheart. Jimmy had a sweetheart too. Jimmy took his nickel, and he said he'd buy a pickle. But the lad was very fickle, and he said, I will buy a lollipop, and then I'll buy a chocolate drop, and put 3 pennies in my bank instead. Little Jimmy's life was hunky-dory. But there's another chapter to the story. Jimmy had a nickel, he didn't have it long. Didn't have it long, cause the girl found out that Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy wanted candy, his sweetheart wanted pie, but he didn't buy, cause he don't like pie. So Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Jimmy had a nickel. Then his sweetheart changed her mind, and they went to a movie show. When they got there, holy gee, he couldn't get a ticket cause he lost his dough. Jimmy had a pocket, the pocket had a hole, the pocket had a hole, and the story's true, cause Jimmy lost a nickel, Jimmy lost a nickel, Jimmy lost a sweetheart too.
Mystery of the mind.
Who's your teacher, Ramit Bay?
No, his brother, Bay. How do you like the Mystic Toga?
Mystic Toga, nothing. It's a hotel tower.
What do you mean, hotel? Just because it says that name on there?
Yeah.
That's my wife's maiden name, Ida Savoy Plaza.
But tell me, Eddie, why did you suddenly take up a memory course?
Well, on account of my wife, Jimmy. She has the worst memory in the world.
Well, she forgets everything, huh?
No, she remembers everything.
Oh, well, you could take a memory course without becoming a mystic.
Ah, but I wanted to study all about reincarnation. Great stuff, Jimmy. You know, according to reincarnation, your spirit enters different kinds of animals and you come back on Earth in a different form.
Oh, really? You mean if I die, I might come back on Earth as a monkey?
No, no, no. You can't be the same thing twice. That's the only thing. Now, for instance, you know, I believe I was once a jackass.
How far back was that?
Not long ago, when I loaned you that $100. And I'm not kidding.
I'll say you're not. Do you still remember that?
That's why I took the course in concentration. You know, nothing can ever distract me, and I never forget anything I have to do.
Say, Eddie, you know, that reminds me. I'd like to make a little announcement.
Go ahead, sure. What's the matter?
Well, you see, I'm playing at the Roxy this week, and I'd like to invite the people to come and see me if you wouldn't object.
No, why should I object? I'm not going. Go ahead, Jimmy, go ahead.
Thank you, Eddie. Ladies and gentlemen, I take this opportunity to tell you all that... Oh, listen, stop. Wait a minute. Whoa. Hey! Hey, listen, must you tune up now? Stop it, will you? Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying before, I take pleasure in... Hey, will you stop annoying me with that fiddle?
What's the matter, Jimmy? What's the matter?
Oh, this is awful, Eddie. I can't make a speech with all this racket going on, but my mind wanders all over the place.
Well, it hasn't got far to go. Look at Jimmy. Look, why don't you try to concentrate? The first rule of concentration is to keep your mind on your subject. Listen, I'm such an expert on concentration that I'm making a speech about it before the Hindu Society.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think or talk with any noise around at all.
Don't say that, Jimmy. I'll give you a real lesson on concentration. Look, you make your announcement, and at the same time, I'll dictate my speech to a stenographer.
All right. I'll try it.
Excuse me, Mr. Kennedy. There seems to be something wrong with one of the microphones. Do you mind if I examine it?
It's a fine time to examine microphones while I'm broadcast. Wait a minute. That's even a better test for concentration. Go ahead. Make all the noise you want.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Hello, Joe. This is Pete. That's microphone number 4. Do you hear me? WAF 29, WAF 32.
Wait a minute. What is this WAF 29, WAF 32 business?
WAF is the word we use to test percussion sound.
Oh, I see. All right. Go ahead with your words. Come on, Jimmy. Go ahead. You start your announcement.
But Eddie, what about that fiddle player?
Hey, just pay no attention to anybody. Shoot. Go ahead.
All right, Eddie.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to announce that I'm appearing this week at the Rock again.
My Hindu friends, I'm going to speak to you tonight on concentration among the lower animals. Let us take a cow. A cow has a brain. A cow can even speak. You have often heard a cow say,
"Hey, Joe, there's a leak in the transmitter." Throw in the master switch, Joe. Throw in the master switch and stand by so I can give you something.
Oh, you're just going to see me on the stage. I feel that a great part of my success I owe to Mrs. Wallington. By
WAP 29, WAP 32. Say, Joe, a diaphragm has always been loose. There's only one thing to do. Pull down one of the 4 levers.
Of the cow, and she will give you a look of understanding. You know, a cow's intelligence depends on diet. I know one cow who ate only dry grass, and after 20 years of eating that kind of grass...
I became a radio announcer, and was awarded the gold medal for my diction. Why, I not only give the proper pronunciation and expression, but I also give...
4 quarts of milk every evening. And why? Why does the cow give so much milk? Simply because she concentrates. If, however, the cow should let her thoughts wander for one moment, you get...
Put in the plug and ease up the condenser. All right, now.
Cut my throat, which is responsible for the clear tones that I utter. My act consists of myself and another.
Longhorn bull, which is by far the more intelligent of the two. Here we have done wonders with the ordinary cow. Did you ever see a cow stand up on its hind legs and talk?
Well, if you haven't seen me before, you'll get your chance at the Rock. When I was born, my father took one look at me and said to my mother,
WAP 29, WAP 30, throw out that old piece of the mic. Now I'll whisper.
And at the Roxy, I will not only appear myself, but I will also have Mr. Rubinoff there. And you will see
the exact difference between an American cow and a Russian ox. Now, if the lower animals can concentrate, it should be easy for grown-up men to do it. No matter what happens, I can retain my wits and keep saying to you...
WAP 32.
Microphone is out of order.
The microphone is out of order. No, I mean concentration. It's very simple. The Roxy, the microphone is on a cow. No, I mean the bull is out of order. No, concentration.
And that's why my perfect concentration won me the Dixon Medal for testing microphone for touching with the Roxy.
Roxy 29, Roxy 32.
No, Wallington 29, Wallington 32. No, I mean a lot of people don't appreciate the art of poor concentration. No, it's simply a matter of training the mind. Mind is the train. No, swinging the main. I mean catching the boat. Concentration every day. What am I singing all of a sudden? Concentration every day is what gives you percussion. The fiddle playing drive me nuts. I'll kill that goofy rush. For the first time, saw her 2 children. All America, Mrs. Naylor, rejoices with you in your newly found happiness.
I'm busy at Christmas time. Preparing for Santa. And this time it's Canada. He's late. It's only because, by golly, by Jimmy, he's stuck in the chimney. I'm worried about old Santa Claus.
Look who's here. Ho, ho, ho. Santa Claus looks like old Black Joe.
Well, I huffed and I puffed and I huffed. My trip down the chimney was dandy. My speed never slackened, and now that I'm blackened, I wonder, am I Amos or Andy?
Eddie Santa Claus, though we had to wait, and though you came late, your visit each year we all treasure.
I become for that right. Each Christmas night your presence is always a pleasure.
Well, speaking of presents in my bag, I bring quite a few. I'll give them out now, and Jimmy will start with you. Here, I have a medal.
Wait, you don't get it yet. All engraved with your name, it tells of your diction, your voice, and your fame. And here, take these stocks left over from the crash. I'll give you the solid gold medal if you can turn my stocks into cash.
Thanks, Eddie, that's fine. But you keep the medal. I have stocks of my own. I wish you could turn.
You know, I spared no expense and never thought of thrift. Collecting for Rubinoff an appropriate gift. Some caviar for my Russian friend, or rare expensive dish. Of course, you know that caviar is the brains of a fish. Ain't that appropriate? But still, he gets more. I bought him a steel safe, and I'll tell you what for. He used to keep his violin safe from thieves throughout the nation. I present to him the safe, but I keep the combination.
Thanks to you, Harvey, the presents are swell. I'll tell the world you are mine still. Till the end, you mine friend. It's grand, understand? But I'm only wishing this was banned.
Rubinoff, my friend, I got a present for the band. It's really the best band in the land. It's a nice piece of rope, and I hope this present, what I give, will keep them hanging together as long as they live.
Thank you, Mr. Santa Claus. We hope your wish comes true. We hope and trust the rope won't bust, and we have a hand
with you.
Well, you're a swell bunch of fellas and should be remembered by me every year for the loud way you play whenever I sing so the folks listening in can hear.
Now, cut that out, Hardy. That isn't nice, talking about my musicians.
You know they play good. They have to and should in order to keep their position.
You shouldn't knock them, although they don't mind. They really are swell bunch of fellas. They'll never complain when you're knocking them, but to tell you the truth, I get jealous.
Eddie, it's time to stop fooling. Seriously, I'm here to state there's one all-year-round gift you give us we more than appreciate. Your ever-present thoughtfulness, good fellowship, and mirth. We offer you a bond of friendship. No greater gift on earth.
Thanks, Jimmy. Moving on for the boys in years to come, I trust I still possess the fine regard you offer me. Well, that spells happiness. For Chasen Sanborn, I have a gift, and one that's most sincere. A picture of each Sunday night we spend in spreading cheer. And to the listening public in each hamlet in the land, I offer a hope, a wish, a prayer, the communion of yours to command. Why can't the Christmas spirit prevail throughout the entire year? Why must it start on the 25th and end when the New Year's here? Why just remember the ones we love when holiday seasons arrive? Why not have Christmas within our hearts each day of the 365? And so on the eve of this Yuletide week, when the New Year's here. Why just remember the ones we love when holiday seasons arrive? Why not have Christmas within our hearts each day of the 365? And so on the eve of this Yuletide week, let's all join together and say, tomorrow is Christmas, as goodwill on earth, and Christmas is everywhere.
The Chasen Sanborn's Data Coffee were, of course, among the first to sign the President's re-employment agreement. James Wallington speaking.
Good night and Merry Christmas.
The Big Bad Wolf from Walt Disney's Silly Symphony, The Three Little Pigs, and Count Your Blessings from the motion picture Joe Palooza. The program has come to you from New York City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.